Welcome to Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program. This week, a comedian with wanderlust interviewed by a simpering blunderbuss. It's Toby Monashanu! Hello and welcome to Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program with me, Ollie Bettesworth. I am back. See, I told you I had more episodes to release. I told you I could meet deadlines. You all secretly suspected that I'd make a big thing out of coming back and then you just wouldn't hear from me for months after I dropped the last episode. But no, here I am defying all your lowest expectations to provide something that barely any of you want. Anyway, this episode, you may notice that the intro sounds significantly more shit right now than it usually does. That's because I'm not at home on my fancy condenser microphones. I'm recording this on a mobile device while at work. I'm on call at the office this weekend. I work in a hospice, which means I'm currently waiting by the phones for strangers to tell me all about their sick and dying relatives. So to cheer myself up, I thought I would get something productive done while I wait and introduce an episode with the very lovely and funny Toby Monashanu. Now, some of you may not have heard of him, may not have met him. If you're on the English circuit and used to those sorts of comedians, maybe you haven't caught him yet. But he's an American comedian who travels all over the place. And whenever he's in the UK, I try and touch base with him. He's done a couple of my gigs before, I think, and been very, very funny there. And we had him on a previous podcast. He's very interesting. Guy, got a lot of cool and intelligent points to make. I'm sure you'll agree at the end of this program. And he actually also did me the favour of picking that secret bonus format to the show. So rather than talking about loves and hates this week, we will be addressing popular opinions with which he takes umbrage, which I'm always a little bit more interested in doing, if I'm perfectly honest. So what a treat for me. I will save the plugs for the end. Suffice to say that we have another Crown the Knave, which is the new comedy show that I will be co-hosting with my dear old mum. Crown the Knave at Mughouse SE1, and that's right underneath London Bridge. The next show is May the 5th. Please do come along. It's only £3, and we have a terrific lineup, which I will talk about at the end. But now, it just suffices to introduce Series 2, Episode 5, featuring Toby Monashanu, in which he comes round to discuss why luxury goods are overrated, why the British are all douchebags, and how much he loves giant evil corporations. Enjoy. Toby, welcome.
Thank you.
You are an international comedian.
Well, I'm an American comedian. I'm currently in Britain, so...
But you go all over the shop, don't you?
I do. I've performed in 16 countries now.
You just quite casually said to me, I asked you how long you were going to be in London. You said, another week, and then I'm going to be heading back to the States. I might drop off in Barcelona or Amsterdam or maybe both, and I'll probably try and do some gigs there. You know. How are these plans not set already? How do you just... I have to plan quite far in advance before I even go, you know, to like Manchester or whatever. How do you manage to just sort of drift around the world in this quite casual way? I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No.
Well, I'd imagine if you wanted to gig in Manchester, there'd be several months of you trying desperately to convince someone that you were funny enough to put on stage.
I see.
For me, my reputation kind of precedes me.
In lots of different countries. How many countries have you gigged in?
16, as I said 30 seconds ago.
Oh, I wasn't listening because I was too busy thinking of ways in which I was going to attack you. That's how this podcast works. So you just, you know, you just kind of turn up in Barcelona. What's the next step? Call up Jose.
Well, first I check my privilege and my racism at the door.
Okay.
And then I would get in touch with, last year at the Edinburgh Festival, I met a nice gentleman from Barcelona who runs comedy gigs there. And he said, oh, if you're ever in town, drop me a line.
Mm.
You know.
How does this happen? You met like some person. This is another thing with Americans. It's always... You said casually earlier on, oh, yeah, I just decided to go out and get drunk and meet people. What?
Yeah.
People that you didn't already know.
Yeah.
Where?
The Edinburgh Festival, in this case, I think we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that, yeah, I mean...
You just drift around and meet people that end up giving you gigs abroad. How does that... I'm just trying to rack my head around this sort of very casual drifting through.
I guess the funny thing is that I always considered myself not particularly social.
Mm.
You know, I think most people would describe me as quiet, but...
Yeah.
Perhaps that's quiet on the American scale, which is
maybe
a little bit
above.
Before
you came to Britain.
Yeah.
What people racked with neuroses.
So, like, in this case, I met this chap from Barcelona. Actually, I think he was also an American. He's not Spanish. He might be British, but I haven't talked to him in about a year. But he came to a compilation show that I was running in the mornings. He actually came to it two or three times because it's a different lineup every day. And then he came to my solo show and he gave me his card.
Sounds like this guy was stalking you a little bit.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a funny, you know. Mm. Is this more than just a professional relationship?
And you're about to just play right into his hands, go straight to Barcelona.
Yeah, it might be a very intricate trap that he has laid for me.
Okay. Give me a ring, like a week into your trip to Barcelona, just so I can check you haven't been sold into sexual slavery.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, maybe... actually, if you could call me, so I just have that out... You know?
Yeah.
In case, you know, I'm in the cellar, but sorry, I got to take this call.
Oh, my pimp. I already have a pimp. Sorry, he's calling me. Got to go to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then he'll back off. He'll be like, I don't want to mess with another man's bitch.
Exactly. It's sort of like the boyfriend bomb, but like, you know,
exactly.
Master.
That's how it works. I haven't been to Barcelona. I imagine that's what it's like.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That is a funny idea. Like, just being like, oh, I'm... Sorry, yeah, me and my kidnapper were going along, and they're like, oh, a kidnapper. Why didn't you tell me earlier?
Yeah, I was about to kidnap the fuck out of you.
Yeah,
that would have been awkward. And
you know, you talk to someone for 45 minutes, they never mention they had a kidnapper. A very flexible kidnapper.
So, Toby, what are you running from?
What am I running from? Myself.
Really?
Well, you know, I said that as a joke, but, you know, I don't know if that it's that untrue. Aren't we all running from ourselves? And
no, because I'm staying here in Britain where I am.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, maybe
you've
just
given
up.
No, I've certainly given up. I've given up several times, and each time I think I've given up everything, there's another thing to give up. I'm, you know, I'm here. I'm steeped in my own kind of... Britishness all the time, constantly, without respite. Whereas you're moving around, new places, new distractions, new people.
Well,
no one really gets to know the real Toby, do they?
Mm, perhaps it is just all just a shield that I put up.
You just fly in for a week and, that guy, cool. And then you leave before they realize what you're really like.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I mean, so I started, I'll tell you from the beginning, I started traveling abroad not that long after I quit my day job. And I wanted to do comedy full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was your day job?
I was a project manager and an engineer at a high-tech company.
Mm-hmm. Lots of material.
What's that?
Lots of material from that particular walk of life.
I did talk about it, actually, in my Edinburgh show. I talked about it a little bit last year. It's a bit much to get into now, but yeah, it wasn't just like, the office sucked. It was more like, I don't know, I think that...
No, that sounded funny though. That.
it's been the staple of many a sitcom and many a humorous television show. Mm. But I was sort of trying to look at the world from an engineer's standpoint, and most of engineering is bug fixing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of bugs in the world that we don't acknowledge. Mm. You know, instead we relentlessly debate them in politics and you know that avenue. When it's just like, hey, you know, we tried to implement a complex new system.
Mm.
Some shit didn't work. We got to troubleshoot it and try to do it. It doesn't mean that this approach is terrible, etc.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Mm. But funny. And in my commercial last year. it's always a conflict when someone asks you about something you've written material about.
Yeah.
And you don't want to just go into the material and be that guy.
No.
But at the same time, then when you don't, you're like, but it's not funny because I thought about the funny things and I'm purposely not telling them. So, anyway. My point is, left my job.
Yeah.
Trying to find out what makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I think I'm happiest when I travel. Mm-hmm. And of course, comedy is what I love doing. That's why I quit my job. So I'm going to try to travel and do comedy. The first thing I did was I took a free trip to Israel, on a program called Birthright Israel, which they give to Jews.
Ah, friend of mine's done that.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't like this. I don't like that it's free.
You don't like that it's free. It's not.
What if I want to go to Israel? Yeah. Racist.
It's racist. I'm going to tell you a secret. It is a free trip that they give to people who say they're Jewish.
Absolutely.
There have been a few people who have known. I've heard that they've cracked down on it a little bit. But there were definitely people who did it.
So
I
just went
known
and was
that just said they're, I'm Jewish, and they don't.
Be like, oi.
Yeah.
Where's my trip? Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. Oi vey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bish, bash, bosh.
Israel, it seems so hot. Oh, okay, you're on.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll go next year.
So anyway.
Yeah.
You have to be under a certain age, I apologize.
Do I have to self-circumcise before I go?
Oh, yeah.
That might be a problem. They don't check.
There's some YouTube videos that I'll, you know, do a walkthrough.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that this evening. So you're in Israel. You went to Israel.
So I'm in Israel. Actually, I did perform in Israel as well. That's one of the 16. Just because I knew some friends who had performed there and they hooked me up with the right people. Very
course,
fun.
Course
actually, one gig, fantastic. One gig, one of the worst gigs of my life.
Oh.
Interestingly. I did one gig on a Thursday with more like literate comedy crowd, all spoke English. I was introduced by, this guy's very famous in the States, which is a lie, but a lie I appreciate. So everyone gave me their attention, and I had a few friends in the audience too. You know, maybe fifth of the audience was my friends anyway, so they're all Americans. Went very well. They said, okay, come back tomorrow, where I performed for 300 Israelis. My introduction, and I went up first, was, please welcome Toby. No acknowledgement that I was American. Everyone else was speaking Hebrew. So as soon as I open my mouth and I start speaking English, literally a third of the crowd starts, what the fuck is this? But in Hebrew.
Right.
Heckling me in Hebrew. I don't speak Hebrew. Not a word.
No.
So I can't really respond to them. And then a third of the crowd is shushing that crowd. So it's like, yelling Hebrew at me. People laughing at their heckles, which I don't understand. And then other people going, shh. And then a third of the crowd trying to pay attention to me. But, you know, it's hard when you have any noise in the background, let alone this riot.
Yeah.
And it was a 20-minute spot as well. So it was just grueling. I must have gotten maybe one or two laughs over the entire 20 minutes. As soon as I got off stage, the other comedians had 5 shots of tequila lined up. it was one of the worst gigs.
I think you had a great opportunity there to help mend bridges between the US and the Middle East.
It sounds like it, yeah. I mean, it was just...
too busy thinking about yourself and your set.
If I'd only been more selfless. You know, that's the one thing I regret from that night, is not... not trying to understand there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so on the way back from Israel, you can get your flight. You can extend the trip, so they want you to stay in Israel and move there or fall in love with the place.
Right.
That's the idea of this trip.
Really?
Yeah.
Trying to recruit.
They're fishing for numbers and support.
Unbelievable.
They want you to love Israel. Okay. So you can move your trip back and get your return date whenever you want within like 6 months.
So who are you staying with this whole time for free?
During the trip, they put you up in like kibbutz.
Oh, if you extend it. Then
on trip, if you extend it, you're on your own.
You just get to move there for free forever.
No.
Okay.
So I extend my trip and then I fly to England. Actually, no, not directly. I went around. I'd never been to Europe, like, in the backpacking through Europe sense. You know what I mean? So I was like, well, I'll take the opportunity. I go to London, do a handful of gigs because I always dreamed of doing that. And I luck out and I find a local agent, a local manager, whatever you want to call it, is performing on the show. And he says, come back, I'll get you some gigs. So that's what got me start coming back to England. And once you're performing in... the UK, it's much more plugged into the international scene than the US is, which just tends to be... I mean, there's the US, there's Canada, and there's gigs for the troops, I guess.
Yeah.
But once I was in the UK, I started looking, okay, can I perform in Ireland? Can I perform in Europe? So I just started looking up and getting in touch with people who ran gigs. And then I got a manager who booked... He got me into South Africa, and then once you're doing the circuit, you kind of just meet people... because you're American and not a horribly introverted British person who are connected with, you know, Australia. And then when you're in Australia, maybe I can go to Asia. And, okay, there's a seat in Asia that you find, and then you're in Asia. Yeah.
Well, this is all very well and good, but you still haven't answered the question.
Which is... What am I running from?
What are you running from? We've sort of... You've explained how you're running.
Yeah.
Why are you running? And from what?
a chronic dissatisfaction with life.
Okay.
I think, I mean, I if I'm just going to be candid, I mean, I think I am a bit of a depressed person. I mean, it's no secret in this business.
Is it like Walter Mitty's Secret Life or whatever it is?
I don't know that book.
Okay. Is it like Hector's Search for Happiness?
Don't know that book.
Is it like Eat, Pray, Love?
I don't think I've done either. I don't really love. I think that's the problem. I don't pray because I'm an atheist. I do eat, so it's like a third.
Okay. Okay.
Eat, pray, love.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, I do tend to be a bit down. But, I mean, whenever I go to, like, a new place, it is sort of an adventure. That being said, I've been doing it for about 3 or 4 years now, so I'm getting a little bit over it, you know?
Okay.
I still enjoy it, but my next thing, I think I'm going to be in L.A., and I'm going to kind of camp out there for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're not wanted in any of these countries.
I've burned all of my bridges. One at a time.
You're not on the run, is what I'm trying to establish.
Am I on the run?
There's not a corpse somewhere with your name on it.
I have at one point been on the run.
Really? For murder?
I shouldn't get into it. No, I... not really. Never proven. Okay. Anyway, I shouldn't get into it.
Mm-hmm. There were two guys there. Okay.
That was a recording of what happened. Oh, hold on.
This is the most wacky murder confession I've ever heard.
I do impressions, and that was my
impression of your victim.
Yes, that was exactly what happened.
Okay. But we're not going to talk about it.
We're not.
We'll just leave it out there for everyone else to decide.
No, I tell a story, and I was denied entry to Britain one time I came here, and I actually talked about it quite a bit in my Edinburgh show this year.
Oh, okay.
But I ended up having to run all around Europe.
Hello, Ollie here. I just want to say a quick note at this point. I've noticed that while I've been editing, there's a little bit of sound distortion on the mics, and I think that can only be because at the time of recording, Toby and I had the fan on as it was a sweltering day, so there's not much I can do about that right now, so I hope you bear with us. Would you rather we sweat? You want us to sweat for you?
Now, Toby, you've picked the secret second format of the show that only one other comedian, Gareth Morrison, has ever picked.
I can't believe... Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's happened now. You might as well continue.
I can't believe I thought that this would be one that more people would jump to.
Yeah, I thought so too. And it's secretly sort of the one that I would prefer people to do. But it is that you have identified three popular opinions with which you take particular umbrage. What's the first?
The first is corporations. Mm-hmm. I do not hate them in the way that I find most of my peers do.
Okay.
I find the blanket hatred of corporations to be kind of juvenile and short-sighted in my mind. And to be fair, I mean, I'm saying this is a non-popular opinion that I have, but it might also be because I am ensconced as a comedian in a world surrounded by anarchists and
very far
left-wing people. So. Yeah. Even by having a mainstream opinion, I feel like maybe I'm an iconoclast. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's weird,
yeah.
Like, because we all live in these very isolated pockets of the web nowadays where we're...
super liberal.
Yeah, we're surrounded by, you know, we end up in one echo chamber or another. And I've worked in a major corporation. I don't think people are grateful. I mean, it sounds like a weird thing to say to corporations for all of the things that they... provide that we take for granted. You know, I mean, we're recording this podcast on microphones, on equipment produced by corporations. You know, we're going to distribute it through iTunes, a corporation, you know. My clothes, my favorite jeans, they're all made by corporations. My laptop, which I quite enjoy, made by a corporate. You know what I mean? It's just like everything that we have that is high quality that we enjoy, for the most part, was provided by a corporation. But people still have this knee-jerk corporations equals bad attitude that I think is simplistic and silly.
But don't people mainly think, yes, great products, but do you have to conduct yourself in such a shitty way all of the time? Well, they're not saying, most of them anyway, saying they shouldn't make those products and I hate those corporations, they shouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they saying, yeah, make as many hamburgers as you like, McDonald's, but stop, like, raping babies in Africa or whatever it is?
Well,
I'm assuming, I don't know what the charges are against McDonald's.
I actually subscribe to a service that funds baby raping in Africa, so maybe that's a bad example. No, I'm okay. Just kidding. I only shop at McDonald's for the baby rape. Okay. That's what I'm saying now. Okay. I think that...
Just so you know, I'm going to be using that as yes. a sound bite in the introduction as a sort of way of saying, these are the sort of things that Toby believes.
Yes. Please, only use that. Make it a 30-second podcast. Here's what I'm saying. I think that corporations are neutral entities. It's really just an organization made of people. And like anything that consists of people, it can be greedy. It can be benevolent. It can be short-sighted. It can be a social good. There's many, you know, environmentally kind technologies that are produced by corporations because they're corporations with a conscience. You know, they're corporations that were created by people who wanted to make a positive difference in the world, and a business was the best way to do it.
Hmm.
So do I think that there are corporations who act in an evil way or in a or promote social ills? Absolutely.
Hmm.
And they should be punished as such.
Yeah.
But I don't think that people use it in the sense. People always just say, oh, you know, these corporations want us to think this. And it's just like in this such a vilification of the concept of a corporation that it just seems silly to me.
Hmm.
I think it's in the same way that people are reflexively anti-government in some circles. And it's silly because governments are necessary and they do good as well as are capable of evil or inefficiencies and such like that. You know, it's just such a knee-jerk response that I disagree with it.
I think it's Rage Against the Machine's fault.
Rage Against the Machine's, yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff like that is that attitude of like, you know, just fuck the man, which means, you know, screw corporations, which means, you know, screw... It's just such a vague blanket emotion.
Hmm.
That it shocks me that it's so widespread among people who consider themselves intellectuals and stuff like that. People will criticize the right wing for not being nuanced and then say, fuck the man or fuck machines or fuck, you know, whatever entity that they imagine has control. And it's so devoid of nuance that it really flabbergasts me. It's just this faux intellectualism that I can't stand.
I feel, though, that the people that you are attacking, I don't know, do they exist? Who are they? Who are the people? What type of people are you talking about? Do you think that there is generally this very black and white anti-corporate thing that exists out there?
Again, it's something people... I feel like I'm surrounded by because I live amongst comedians and among, you know, people who are either very left-wing or anarchists or libertarians or something like that. You know, I feel like I'm... The fringe politically is kind of the norm, and so yeah, I do. I mean, I hear comedians all the time, and you know, it's not like obscure ones. You know, I think Carlin did it. I think Bill Hicks did it. You know, and people treat them like they're geniuses, and I'm like, you're just saying, fuck the man, and it's just this. You're not solving anything. You know, you're not thinking through political issues. Okay. It's just this knee-jerk reactionism to me.
Okay, so let's go into a little subcategory here of popular opinion. George Carlin is not a genius. Go.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I listened to George Carlin a lot growing up. I loved him. In his later years, I found it to be not particularly funny. He didn't make me laugh, you know? This is probably an unpopular opinion. It's one of those guys that's very revered, and I respect him as an artist. He did broke a lot of ground.
Mm.
But does he make me laugh? If I'm honest, not really in his later years. And I would love to be proved wrong. You know, people talk a lot about his specials, his last special. I want to watch that again. I keep meaning to do it. I watched it years ago, but I haven't gotten around to doing it again. But I remember just stuff like, you know... Like, I remember watching it, and that might have been his last special, where he's, like, critiquing modern society, and he's like, you know, we say, what's up on the down low? And, like, all these things that we say that are, like, superficially contradictory, but I'm like, and everyone's like, woo! Like, he's talking about something, and it's like, who gives a fuck? It's just language, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's that stuff is, like that. That is an unfortunate thing about some of the later specials, is that I like him, but I find it difficult to watch because of the audience.
Yeah.
The audience there whoops and applauds more or less every sentence.
Yeah.
And it just gets too much. It's like, I feel left out.
Yeah.
I'm like, it wasn't that great of a thing they just said. Yeah. Like, you're meant to build up to a big moment of applause and a big kind of, it's not like every fucking bit.
Yeah.
Like, I agree so much with this.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo! Yeah, preach. It's kind of tiresome after a while.
Yeah.
It's meant to be just laughter.
Surely, it's just, it's like listening to a band and having them play two notes and they just burst into this swell of applause and you're like, let them play something, you know?
Yeah.
But then, I just felt like a lot of, with Hicks and with Carlin, a lot of the political philosophy that people revere, it seemed like just kind of bland, vaguely hippie-ish platitudes, you know? I mean, like, it didn't... There's plenty of weight to arguments that are critiquing, you know, the governments that we have now, the policies that we have now. But they never get into that, you know? It's just all, like, legalize all drugs, and it's like, no, it's a stupid idea, you know? You can't have heroin in the liquor store because people are just going to kill themselves, you know?
Yeah, but...
And they'll get addicted horribly.
We need people to kill themselves.
Fair enough. But, you know, I mean, it's just, like, it's just not thought through.
Mm. I think, as you say, because you know comedians and you're part of a kind of a countercultural kind of thing...
Mm-hmm.
That you think it's all very kind of, yes, we all agree on this, yes, the bad things are bad, but like having this knee-jerk reaction to all of it's not productive. Mm. Actually, don't we, the people that have that very black and white anti-corporation, they get stuff done because they don't see nuance and they don't see kind of the greys and the kind of, isn't your attitude, doesn't that make you basically inactive?
I don't think so.
Doesn't it take
interesting argument. That is an interesting argument, because, and that's the critique a lot of people have on the right, is that that because they're unified, even when they're wrong or their political platforms are dumbed down, you know, because they're unified, they're able to affect change in a way that stereotypically the left wing isn't able to do, because they're always disjointed and everyone thinks their shit is a little bit better than the other guys, and it's hard to unify the left.
They're trying to out-liberal each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
I'm accepting of more people than you are.
yeah. I mean, you're a feminist, but you're not the right kind of feminist.
Mm.
So, as a result, we fracture our opposition, you know?
No, but as a feminist, there are plenty of very bad feminists out there. I'd just like to say that.
Fair enough.
Mm.
So, you know what? I've always believed that I would rather believe what I believe to be right and pursue that and advocate for that than to compromise my beliefs or dumb them down in order to get more people on board. And, you know, is that less effective?
Yeah, never going to have the revolution with that attitude.
Well, I think, you know, I think there's also a silent majority. I think there's a lot of people, or I'd like to think they're a majority, a lot of people who just get alienated by the internal objections they have to people who make these blanket platforms. And I like to give voice to that in my act, at least. I like to hope that I do.
Yeah, but you're turning up. There's people ready to storm the corporations. They're ready to take back.
Well, that's the thing.
And like solve inequality. And you're turning up, going, yeah, actually, sometimes the corporations give to charity.
So, yeah, but I'm also thinking, like, maybe we don't need to solve all these problems. You know, I don't want to storm the gates if it's for the wrong purpose. I don't want to storm the gates as the wrong entrance.
Maybe the poor should be poor. Is what you're saying?
Well, I think that I'm not anti-corporate, so I'm not like saying that I'm like, I'm not basically anti-corporate and I'm watering that down because I have a few exceptions.
Mm.
I think that capitalism is good and we should work within the framework of capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I have certainly some liberal opinions. Mm. I mean, I think that there should be higher taxation in order to redistribute the wealth that is going to naturally accumulate at the top, for example.
Mm.
But I don't agree with you know, the almost violent anti-corporate rhetoric that I hear from people who are to the left of me. Mm-hmm. And so I don't feel like I'm, if I were to say, yeah, let's screw all the nuance of my beliefs, mm-hmm. I'm just going to go with people on the far left. Why would I do that? Because I don't believe them. You know what I mean? I don't think they're doing the right thing.
Right.
So, like, I don't feel like I'm losing some sort of power that I would have. I think broadly, I consider myself a centrist, and I think if there's any change that I can affect politically with my comedy, which is a very big stretch, but I mean, I think that people overstate the differences between each other. I think that people are too divided into camps, mm. and that we should work together more to find pragmatic solutions instead of ones that just satisfy this tribal emotion or that bias mm. on either side. And so
it's very idealistic.
It is idealistic, but I have to do comedy because I love doing comedy, and what else do I have?
But you don't stay in a place long enough to affect any change. Just when the movement starts to get going behind your comedy, you're out of there.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the
revolution in Barcelona is just about to kick off. You're off to Amsterdam.
I wish it was that dramatic, but I mean, there's also the attitude of maybe you're getting your ideas out to more people by traveling a lot. I do think that there's, career-wise, certainly drawbacks to traveling all the time, and that's part of the reason why I want to stay in LA more and do that. But I think that, you know, you also learn more when you travel a lot of different places, and when I'll go to another place, I'll try to do political comedy about the issues of the time, you know, and because I'm fascinated by that. I like to know the political issues that people have, and, you know, I went to South Africa, and I read all about the political history there, which is fascinating, and I talked about it politically. And one thing, and I feel like I can't saying this because I feel like I'm patting myself on my back, but like, it's cool when you go someplace where people don't always talk about politics in that way, but you have the freedom to do it because you don't have a vested interest in either side. It's not like all of my friends are pro and ANC in Africa.
And the education to do it.
Yes. But yeah, you can just come in as an outsider, and you sort of have that freedom to, oh, this is silly, you know? Yeah. And sometimes people like it, because people like to laugh at themselves
and
a little bit.
And in South Africa, they'll listen, because you'll bite, right?
Yeah. Exactly, you know? Because they've established the groundwork for me to be...
He's okay.
Yeah.
I know what he's saying seems to be anti-racism, but he's one of us. What about Che Guevara?
You know, I know I've read a Wikipedia article about Che Guevara. There is some irony into everyone wearing his T-shirt. I do think
who makes all those T-shirts?
Probably people in, you know, allegedly communist China. I did see one T-shirt with it, which had Che on it, and then below it said, communism killed 30 million people, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt. And I did kind of love that. It is one of my pet peeves, because my family, or part of my family, was driven from Europe, and many of them killed by the communists after World War II, the USSR, the Romanian, and because they published a newspaper. So
what did the newspaper say?
Probably a bunch of wrong shit, and that's why they finally cracked down on them. But, you know, and I don't really care. I'm not, like, one of these guys who gets irritated by it, but it is sort of something I roll my eyes at when people use the retro hammer and sickle, or the, you know, celebrate communist culture because it's anti-America, so therefore it's cool and fuck the man.
Yeah.
But it's like they were so much worse than our government, you know?
Right.
They killed millions of people for completely despotic reasons.
So is the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Of course. Whoa. Brain explode.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I mean, it's just like people just don't appreciate the scale, you know? I think, and that's a problem as well. And it's not like just isolated to this type of people or that type of people, but people always... It's something I talk about in my act again, but... I think people act like, oh, the world now, it's the worst it's ever been, you know, like, you know, in Iraq, you know, there's so many thousands of casualties and stuff, and it's like, yeah, I mean, that's not good. Mm. You know, that's a valid criticism of America and American foreign policy. But at the same time, you look at wars progressively to this point, and you just see a massive downward trend in casualties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, World War II, not that long ago, millions and millions of people. Before that, you know, 50 years before that, wars in China, which killed tens of millions of people. You know, I mean, it's killing massive amounts of civilians is the norm. And mm-hmm. it's impressive that we've gotten to this point where we're killing relatively few while dropping massive amounts of ordnance. You know, it's not a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, oh, we're doing such a great job. But at the same time, I think that tying it back to communism, like, people, like, you know, they have this nostalgia or this appreciation for the USSR when they killed orders and orders of magnitude more people than the U.S. imprisoned in Guantanamo Bay or killed in Iraq and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it just seems like, you know, just it just seems juvenile to say the enemy of my enemy is my friend and to cherish that when you're losing all perspective.
Toby, what's the next opinion with which you take umbrage?
What is the next on the list?
This one I'm underlining strenuously.
Oh, I think British people are too condescending towards Americans for silly reasons.
It's quite a self-serving choice, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Mm. Yeah.
So is this something that you've experienced?
Well, it's more that I hear a lot of it on stage, you know, from other comedians, and I hear it a lot in conversation, and I read it in the newspaper.
Americans are stupid?
This casual anti-Americanism, and particularly with
fat?
This...
Fat?
Yeah, fat, stupid. Okay, I will not disagree with the fat. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, I believe you are the fattest country in Europe, so...
Yeah, I mean in Europe, though, so...
Yeah, but still.
Not the world.
So.
Or the universe.
We're also not the fattest
corporate. But George Bush, though.
Touché.
Hmm.
I feel like a lot of the British criticisms toward America are just smug and silly and let British people off too easily.
Okay, like what?
Like they'll say, oh, Americans, you guys don't have passports, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a second.
Mm.
Why would we have passports? Well, here, look at the countries around us.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, which is more or less like America.
This is material, isn't it?
No, this is not material.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying not to do material. I have a lot of material about this, which is hilarious, and I won't go into. I'm just using this to plug.
I was going to have to do the material alarm. When that goes off.
This is a smoke and mirrors. You'll realize that there is no.
Okay.
Such a gun. There is, well, what was it? Yeah, Canada, more or less like America.
Hmm.
I mean, I love Canada. I enjoy it.
Yeah,
but
we love Canada, too.
Everyone loves Canada. Who
it's
doesn't
like
love
the
Canada?
Good version of America, right?
Oh, shut it.
Like Americans, but with a sense of sort of shame and dignity. Slash.
I mean, Canadians are, I can't say a bad word about Canada. They're a bit more polite and humble than Americans.
You can leave your door open.
Yeah, you can do that in a lot of America, too.
Hmm.
Or Mexico, which is racked by drug violence. And, P.S., not a lot of Europeans know this, until very recently, you didn't even need a passport to get out of those countries.
Hmm.
Like, you could use a driver's license to get into Mexico. You can still use a driver's license to get into Canada if you're in a border state and you get, like, you pay $20 more and you get, like, a one that can go into Canada.
Hmm.
So those are two basic options. And aside from that, if you're living in the middle of the country, the other option is to take a 8 or 9 hour flight to go to Europe, which will cost several thousand dollars.
Mm.
If you're alone, if you have a family, multiply that by four.
Mm.
Or you could go to one of the, I don't know, 30, 35 very interesting places in your own country. You know, you go to New Orleans, you go to Florida, you go to New York, you could go to Colorado, you could go to San Francisco, you could go to Austin, Texas, for a fraction of the cost. For so much more convenience. And I feel like it's a rational decision And I'm not saying, like, look, I love traveling abroad, right? And a lot of my friends travel abroad, and I respect that. But for a lot of people, it's a rational decision to explore their own country rather than take the expense and inconvenience of traveling abroad. And also, how many British people, yes, you have passports, for one, because you're required to have them, and for two, how many of you have gone on a plane flight 9 hours away from your home? Or how many of them, oh, yes, I'm an international traveler, I went to Amsterdam on a holiday. Funnily enough, all the signs were in English. It was wonderful. Mm. Then they puked in the streets and got all the Dutch people angry at us. You know? Mm. Oh, I went on a holiday to a resort in southern Spain, and I never left the resort. You know what I mean? It's like, owning a passport is not the same as being, you know, cultured and well-traveled. And
people use it as a... this video on YouTube.
Yeah.
Where there were these Americans being asked to identify where, say, Africa was.
Uh-huh.
And they couldn't do it.
Oh, my web of lies is crumbling down.
Mm.
I mean, are there stupid Americans? Yes.
Yeah.
Unequivocally. Mm. Of course. Obviously. There's many stupid Americans. There's 250 million of us.
Mm.
Not more, maybe 300 million of
most
us now.
Most of them.
A lot of them are stupid.
Mm.
A lot of stupid people in England, too.
The majority.
Let's be honest.
Mm.
You, Scotland invented soccer hooligans. You've got chavs. You've got, you know, you go to... This is a little bit of a bit that I do, but if you want to argue with me that British people are classed as Americans, I'll have that argument, but I don't want to have it on Leicester Square at 4 a.m. Like, yes.
Sorry, you flagged it, so I had to...
Fair enough.
Hmm.
The thing is that there's plenty of drunken stupidity and provincialism in the UK as well, and you guys acknowledge that amongst yourselves. You make fun of each other for it, but for some reason you still look down on Americans like it's something you're immune
to. Yeah, but... Our chavs are cleverer than your rednecks.
I don't know that that's true.
That we should do that. We should like come up with some sort of
that would be a fantastic,
a great quiz.
That would be a fantastic
YouTube series.
I would
watch that every week.
The stupidest people from every country, because every country has stupid people.
Australia has bogans.
Mm. Yes. In South Africa, they make fun of the
Black
Afrikaners.
People. Oh, yeah. I thought you were.
That was a bridge too far.
Do they make fun of the Afrikaner people?
The redneck ones, the Boers or whatever, you know.
Oh, like, yeah.
I mean, not all of them. There's certainly, you know, well-educated ones. But, you know, when I was performing down there and I went to some casino and they're just like, oh, that's going to be a bunch of, you know, rednecks. They're basically redneck. They're people who go to schlocky casinos, which are the same people anywhere in the world.
And live in barns.
I don't know if they lived in barns, but might as well.
Yeah, why not?
And it was a fun show. I mean, who am I to judge? They're paying me money, and I enjoyed myself there. Although, once I mentioned that I was Jewish, it didn't seem to be. One of the very few people, I say I'm Jewish everywhere I go, regardless of what country I'm in. That's one of the few places where I felt like there was a reaction to it. Because honestly, like I don't think being a Jew is... People talk about anti-Semitism. I've never experienced anti-Semitism.
Except in horrible racist South Africa.
Except a tiny bit. Mm. Just a tiny reaction. Oh, and then once in Calgary, actually. Mm. And
Canada?
Shocker of shockers. Well, Calgary is the...
Oh, come on.
Alberta's one of the more stereotypically... So, for that, what it's worth, but... Stereotypically rednecky parts of Canada.
Hmm.
But it was funny because I was working with another comedian who was Jewish as well, but everyone assumes he's Italian. He never mentions he's Jewish on stage. We both went up, and after the show, these guys were like, hey, come up to our suite for some drinks, but leave the Jew. And he's Jewish himself, yeah. Yeah,
it must be quite fun to be that racist.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's. I'm sure it's.
I'd love to be able to say something like that without feeling any shame.
Yeah,
the Jew. That's just a funny thing to be able to say with that much confidence.
I heard this in Scotland. I'm one of my cab drivers. I'm not racist, but I just don't think the races can live with each other. I think they should be separate. No one in Scotland is racist, but I just. Black and white people can't get along. I was like, eesh. Where do I begin?
There's a lot of racism in America, though. The Ku Klux Klan.
The Klan's not what it used to be.
Hmm.
I thought you said it like not like the good old days.
Yeah, exactly. It seemed like there was a lot of regret and nostalgia.
There was a story recently that the Klan was recruiting black people because to ally against their common enemy, the Mexicans.
Really?
Yeah, of course that was did not go as well as they anticipated.
Are the Mexicans the new Ku Klux Klan enemy? I thought they were.
Illegal immigration, apparently.
Hmm.
I mean, I feel like it's like, doesn't UKIP have some Indian members or something like that? Isn't that?
I don't know. I know the BNP made a very big show of having a new Sikh member.
Oh, yeah?
It was like, look, see?
It was something
the
like
Sikh
that.
Sikh guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't like immigrants either.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like, well, they've given up and they realize they're not winning by being just like...
Out and out racist.
Out and out whites only. But if they... can be like, all right, well, you've been in this country for 200 years since we colonized yours, you know? Like, all right, I guess you're one of the good ones, quote unquote, and then they can come together and very beautifully repress more recent immigrants.
Because
that's always been a recipe that never backfired. Or
and ivory working together.
Yeah.
I don't know the rest of that song. Okay, but what about Bush?
Yeah, I'm not a big Bush fan. Not a Bush fan at all. But what's your point?
I don't know. It just seems like you should answer for Bush for the rest of your life.
I was heckled by like George Bush like 6 years after he left office in England.
Yeah.
George Bush, like that's like me being like, hey, oh, British comedian, hey, Margaret Thatcher, you know, or whoever the fuck. You know, I mean, like.
Yeah, it's not very tasteful.
Yeah, we don't always have great politicians.
She's passed away now. You can't really.
I don't know enough about Margaret Thatcher, honestly, to
have some respect.
Fair enough.
She's gone.
Yeah, I mean, there's dickhead politicians wherever you go. I mean, people here make fun of Nigel Farage, you know.
Yeah, but he's not in power for 8 years.
Yeah, but I mean, people make fun of David Cameron like he's the fucking. You know, the worst of the worst, or whatever. You know, I mean,
Yeah, but he doesn't get, like, maxims wrong.
Yeah, but I think part of that is selective reporting. Because, I mean, any... If I had to speak on camera 6 hours a day for 8 years, I would say some stupid shit offhand that I didn't mean, you know? I mean, I feel like there was one thing. You know, I don't like Sarah Palin. I hate her. But... there was one thing that she said, and she just listed a bunch of stupid quotes Obama had said. And she said, yeah, these are things Obama said, but I don't give a shit because you're going to make mistakes, and everyone does, but no one reports on Obama's mistakes because they don't fit the narrative of Obama, you know, whereas they reaffirm your stereotypes if they're about Palin or if they're about Bush. But I'm sure you could go back in time and find stupid remarks that any politician had made. And of course, there's a degree. Sarah Palin is an idiot, you know? Bush, not a genius, but at the same time, I feel like smarter than most people who disagree with him. And, you know, like, I feel like I heard a lot of blanket anti-Bush hatred from people who are like, you would not do a better job running any country than Bush did, you know? I'm sure he's reasonably intelligent, even if he's folksy and he misspeaks a few times. I just think that's sort of... I just like finding those quick, easy ways to dismiss someone as being an idiot when it's much more reasonable to me to have a constructive argument against their policies. You know? I feel like it's such a shortcut.
And it's fun, too.
Yeah, it's fun. Okay, it's fun. But, like... yeah, anyway.
I'm glad you're suitably ashamed.
Well, I feel like there's other things that I... Oh, yeah, one of the other things that I find aggravating is when people do this in America, too. This is not just a British thing, but people definitely do it in Britain as well. Is just say, oh, America's good, but only the coasts. Only the coasts of America.
Right.
You know, the middle sucks.
Yeah, Ohio.
Yeah, because of the red states. Like, oh, how intellectual to dismiss... 90% of the land area of a country because 55% of them voted in a way that you don't agree with. You know, how wonderfully open-minded of you. Like, yes, I mean, I live on the coast, but I also perform in the middle of the country. You know, I go there. I get off the plane. go eat a burrito. My friend picks me up, go to a coffee shop, you know. It's so normal. It's so normal.
No lynchings.
Yeah, people act like you get off the plane and they just teach you creationism, you know? Yeah. And then they deny your girlfriend an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they pick all these niche issues which affect 0.0001%.
Excuse me. Niche.
Oh, I'm not. Sorry, I'm an idiot. I'm an American.
Exactly.
Dismiss anything I said.
And while we're at it, stop saying niche, first of all, Americans. Second of all, it's I couldn't care less, not I could care less. Okay? Just correcting you there. Think about it for just a second. You'll realize I'm right. I could care less. No! I couldn't care less. That's what you mean, right?
Well, I mean, technically, I couldn't care less is also probably a lie, because you probably could care less, or you wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah, but what you mean is, I really strongly disagree with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not as particular on language, because I think language is a means to convey an idea.
Mm.
So if you're conveying that idea to get wrapped up. Oh, this is one thing that British people say that is annoying to me. They say that we have our dates backwards. Oh, because it's the 4th of May.
Hmm.
Or May 4th, dickhead. It's the same thing.
Yeah, we don't say that.
Yeah.
We say the 4th
of May. More words than May 4th. May 4th, a better way to say that date.
Yeah, but the way we do it, it's day, month, year, dickface.
What I'm saying is that you justify that by saying that's right because you would say the 4th of May.
Yeah.
But that's more words than you need. You can just say May 4th, which is what we do in America. More efficient. Better. That's all I'm saying.
I disagree with you. And it's our language, so back the fuck off.
It's ours now. We own it.
Mm.
It's language is a construct that's not right or wrong. It's just how it's used.
Yeah, but your one is wrong.
Fair enough. Mm. What was I saying? I was tearing into you.
Niche. That's what you were saying. I'm busy niching it up. So there's niche issues. Nishus.
Mm. These nishus.
Mm.
It's not a bad word.
The red states, nishus.
Yeah. They define such a small part of the human experience, and people use them as a means to just write off these vast parts of the country where there are, by the way, plenty of universities and educated people and good restaurants. And, you know, every British person who I meet who's actually taken the time to go on a road trip across the country or something, which is a great way to see it, and I recommend everyone does, if you happen to be in America and you enjoy that sort of thing, is they're like, oh my god, you know, I had no idea that people were so friendly. And I went to these restaurants, which most British people ridicule because they give you huge portions that you don't need. It was so good and so cheap. I had such a good time. But it's okay, because I still felt like I was better than that restaurant. But I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's silly.
What's your last choice, Tobes?
Luxury goods.
Mind if I call you Tobes?
You can call me Tobes. I have many good friends of mine call me Tobes.
Oh, I'm not going to call you Tobes.
Fair enough.
What's my last choice?
Luxury goods, which perhaps stands maybe in contrast. Maybe I don't know what you would expect, but I think luxury goods are horribly overrated.
What sort of luxury goods? What are you talking about?
A lot of them. The most overrated ones, I think, are high-end alcohol, I think, is the single most overrated product.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
Agreed.
Good. On a similar vein, but less so, I think high-end coffee and beer is overrated.
Ridiculous. About the coffee. The beer.
I mean, look, it's okay, but the only reason it's popular is because it has drugs in it.
Mm-hmm.
And people aren't honest about that.
Mm.
If we could have decaf coffee or non-alcoholic beer that tasted 3 times as good as anything that we bought, and we would still not buy it.
Hmm.
We would get the stuff with drugs in it.
Yeah,
we want it because of the drugs.
Caffeine, yeah.
Yeah, and I love drugs, but just drink your drugs. Don't be pretentious about it.
No.
Like,
it was pretty good coffee I made just then. And that was pretty
good. It was a pretty good coffee. You know what was good? Because you put caramel and chocolate and milk in it.
Mm-hmm.
That was delicious, and I thank you for that.
Yeah.
And that was very delicious.
That tape. Yeah, that's good.
But, like, it annoys me when people want to charge $3 for an espresso. When it's like, if you just get coffee and you put milk and sugar in it, it tastes good. You know, it annoys me when people want to spend $10 on a mixed drink when you can get a, you know, a milkshake for £3 and put 2 shots in it and it tastes better. Mm. You know, the best alcohol doesn't taste as good as juice.
Right, that's true. Yeah, like, I don't like alcohol though.
What?
I don't like alcohol though, so that's what I'm making.
I just think alcohol doesn't taste good. No. And I love alcohol. I love getting drunk.
Mm.
But there's no, they just, the only reason people spend hundreds of pounds on alcohol is because they think they should.
Mm.
You know? This is a bit.
Mm-hmm.
People say it's an acquired taste. Just your brain going, fuck it, guess we're doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
Get used to it.
Yeah.
You pick out things that you want to pick out.
Mm.
There's no, you can acquire taste for anything.
Mm.
Plain yogurt. We don't need a lot of it. We don't love the way it tastes. If plain yogurt were the only thing that got you drunk, people would never stop talking about it.
Mm.
People would be like, oh my God, this is such an amazing strain of bacteria.
Yeah.
We don't care. It's just a choice. So it wouldn't bother me if it wasn't so exorbitantly expensive.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm. Like people paying, and people like expect me like, oh, I'm pouring you a bottle of the good stuff. And I'm like, I don't give a shit that you spent £80 on this bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. Yeah. You wasted your fucking money, and I will not appreciate it any more than I would Jack Daniels for a quarter of the price.
Mm.
I actually did I had a party one time
because
I'm a man of science and conviction. And I got all kinds of alcohols from very high-end alcohol to, well, alcohol the cheapest you could get. And I put them in covered bottles so people couldn't tell what brands they were in.
Mm-hmm.
And people, of course, they think, oh, I'm going to be one step ahead and recognize the shape of the bottle. Not so fast. I swapped it between the bottles. Didn't tell anyone.
Yes.
And, yeah, no. So sneaky.
It doesn't sound much like a party as much as it is just a social experiment that you decided to inflict on your friends.
Yeah, but you got drunk, so people enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. You know. But it was fun. It was something different.
What's the point of having a party if you can't prove a point at the same time?
Exactly. You can't make people your unwitting pawns in your political beliefs. Mm. But the basic result was when you scored everything up, people just don't like alcohol.
Mm.
Like the highest ratings were not 5 stars. They were like 2 stars, 3 stars.
Yeah.
And people were like, is that for everyone? I'll bet you just gave us all shitty alcohol or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, alcohol just doesn't taste great. The only one, and this was surprising to me, that scored significantly above the rest by a point on a 1 to 5 scale. Cheap vodka that had been run through a water filter.
Really?
I never believed that rumor was true. Apparently it is.
That's the one that they liked drinking the most.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the best tasting vodka. It was like Well vodka. I don't know what generic name brand we have in the States. Popov or something. And I ran it through a Brita filter. And it got the best ratings by a significant margin, which is amazing because all vodka companies talk to at such length about how many filters they go through and how many times they distill it. And apparently they forgot to use the one in your kitchen.
No, I agree. I went wine tasting once.
Yeah. Oh, I don't like wine.
It was one of the single most tedious experiences.
It's
in
so
my life.
Boring. That's excitement for boring people.
And the guy kept on, it was in France.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we went. I think the friends that I was with was like, well, we're in France, we should go wine tasting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the guy kept on going, we only use the Pinot Noir grapes, only strictly the Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
And he kept saying it and pausing for effect, as though like we're meant to go, what, Pinot Noir grape? Like, no, just no. Everyone was divided between the people who didn't give a shit and the people who were pretending to give a shit.
Yeah. That is so pretending to give a shit. Yeah, wine, I don't like wine. It just
And they were just
not
keeping all this drink, like, in barrels underground.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to drink it. It's just, they're just keeping it, because, like, we've got all this wine. All these Pinot Noir grapes.
It's a treasure chest of pretentiousness.
Yeah, exactly. And all of the wine tasted the same. It was nice to get mildly drunk in quite a pretentious place, because suddenly, quickly, all the pretense started to drop,
and
people started getting rowdier, which was fun, because we weren't supposed to. But other than that, it all tastes like fucking wine, which isn't very nice.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Give me a Coke.
But that's one of my, I also think that fancy foods are often overrated. Like, how often you go to a fancy restaurant and it's honestly as good as, you know, Nando's or Chipotle or, you know, one of the, like, I just...
Tiny portions. Square
plates. Yeah, tiny portions that are not that delicious. Mm. So many times I get pastries and people are like, oh, we got this fancy pastry. I'm like, it's not as good as just a fucking you know, slice of pie, like a fruit pie.
Maybe you have very unrefined tastes.
I've had fancy foods, and I mean,
maybe your palate's all bullshit. Maybe you don't have a good palate.
I think people are being bullshit when they pretend to have really fancy palates. I just think that like for the cost of like 5 burritos, which are delicious and filling, and you're like, oh, this is fucking wonderful. You could get one meal. I've been more disappointed by restaurants where I pay over 10 quid for a meal than less than 10 quid. Mm. You don't get the value. Like, there's just diminishing returns. You know, and so often you're paying for the atmosphere or the pretentiousness or
the
rare ingredients that you don't give a shit about.
Or the fact that it's not killing you slowly from the inside. So when is this all going to end?
How long are you
going to be carrying on traveling around the world? How long is this going to go on?
You know, I think it may end in a week or two.
Really?
Well, I'm going back to the States. I'm going back to the States. After Barcelona, Amsterdam, if I do end up even going there. Going back to LA, I think I'm going to be back there for a while. I'm thinking about spending some time in New York, to be fair. Because I've always wanted to live in New York. But I don't know, I'm getting older.
Yeah.
And
time to settle down, I think.
Yeah, a little bit tired of living out of a suitcase, I'll be honest. That's what it is more than anything.
Get yourself a partner.
Could do. I mean, that's the other thing is, I think I meant to go into this at one point very much earlier in the podcast, but it is hard to find a good relationship when you're always leaving town.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know.
Children?
I wouldn't mind having kids someday.
Mm. Don't want to be the absent father.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
We'll see how the kids turn out first.
Yeah, I mean,
might want to get out of there.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, how can you just assume they're going to love your kids?
Yeah, I think, yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. You don't know until they pop out.
Yeah.
Might be an absolute prick.
Sure. Mm. Yeah.
Well, that's a good note to end on. Thanks. Thanks, Toby, for making Mitchum one of the destinations on your travels.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me run my mouth about all this nonsense.
Is it the best place you've ever been?
Mitchum?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
One of the best?
One of the best.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Series 2, Episode 5 of Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast programme with my terrific guest, Toby Morishanu. I hope you enjoyed it. It's been a little bit of a weird one this time round, what with experimenting with recording on the go while at work. And one thing I noticed is that the jazzy sort of audio transitions were significantly slowed. I couldn't really do anything about it, but I ended up quite liking it. It lended it a sort of weird, mournful quality that I quite liked. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the show. As I said, Crown the Knave is on May 5th. That's a Tuesday at 7:30 at Mughouse SE1. That's underneath London Bridge on Tooley Street. Please do visit www.crownthenave.co.uk for all the details. It's only £3. We have Jenny Collier, the Laughing Horse New Act of the Year winner 2014. We've got previous guest of the podcast Candy Gigi and Malcolm Hardy Award winner. We've got Fern Brady, who you may have seen on 8 out of 10 Cats or Sean Walsh's Late Night Comedy Spectacular. Aideen McQueen, my former roommate, and So You Think You're Funny semi-finalist 2013. We've got Amy Hawerska and also the previous guest of this show, Giada Garofalo, who you may remember from last series. And I will be the MC. Please do come along. You can pre-order tickets or you can get them on the door, but please do pre-order to avoid embarrassment, because we sell out every single show, guys. We absolutely, totally sell out every time. So, you know, do get them in advance. You're going to want to do that to avoid disappointment, guys. Anyway, thank you for listening. As always, you know, do the iTunes thing. Leave reviews or ratings if you've enjoyed the show. But until next time, have a nice life. Bye!
oh yeah, you know, I fucking hate, you know, the fact that every charger they manufacture breaks in fucking 3 months, and then they charge you $30 to get a new one. That's obscene.
Last time I was in the Mac store,
yeah,
It was back in my. I just got out of my shoplifting period, so I'd given up. I was out of the game. But then I went into the Mac store with my girlfriend. She wanted to buy a charger. It was for like £15.
Yeah.
So we finally find the thing. There's all these people milling about that you have to kind of get around.
Yeah.
Find the thing. We're like, right, where do we pay? There's no counter. There's no way you pay. So we walk around, try and flag one of the blue shirt people.
Yeah.
We go, how do we pay for this? And they go, well, you've got to find one of the people who's milling around that's got a card machine.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay, all right.
So they don't take cash?
Well, yeah, I think they probably can take cash, the but they might not have change on them. I don't know. So then you have to kind of walk around, find one that's free,
yeah,
and then chance your arm. Are you one of the ones I can give my money to? No, I don't have the machine. I think so-and-so over there has it. So then walk over there, and then he's talking to some guy, and they're talking for ages, and we can see he's got the machine, and we're just a little bit like, come here.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, we've been in here about 20 minutes, walking around endlessly, trying to find someone who will take our money.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the door, and I was like, I'm pretty sure they don't have any scanners in here. And I don't think the security guards are looking very well. And if anyone deserves me to steal from them,
yeah,
it's the Mac store.
Mm-hmm.
And I got very, very close, but I didn't.
Aww.
I decided to honor my, you know, hanging up the hood and didn't get drawn back into the life of crime.
Well,
but I still slightly regret it. I still feel, yeah, like that would have been a very, very deserved shoplifting.
Yeah,
because we've tried to give you money, and if you're making it this difficult, fuck you, I'm taking your product.
I appreciate the Ford Corporation. Ford, okay, Motor Cars. I quite enjoy my, I think it's a, I have a, I drive a Ford back in the States.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good quality car for not very much money. They never took the government bailout.
If Ford offered you some sort of advertising / sponsorship deal, would you take it?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think that would do to your credibility?
That might hurt it a little bit, you know.
Mm.
Stand-up comedian sponsored by Ford.
Mm.
But at the same time, is it so bad? You know, I mean.
Yes.